We should be in a constant, continuous state of praise and worship in our hearts. You know, that's kind of our problem that we have in our daily life. Even as Christians that love the Lord, we love the Lord. We love Him. We really do. But we tend to turn Him off occasionally and kind of put Him on pause. But you know, you really can't do that when He lives inside of you, can you? If we really realized how much God wants to be involved in our lives, even in the little tiny things. And so many of us, we got prayer kind of in a little box, don't we? We have it in this thing that, well, they call a prayer meeting. I don't think I'm going to go. I pray at home, you know. Or we just think there's times that we, just little moments that we can grab occasionally to pray. But you know, our life is a prayer. We don't really know what prayer is. Prayer is a communication with God. And it's two ways. We are supposed to be continuously praying. We pray with our life. We pray with our actions. We pray with our words. We pray with our thoughts. We should be in a constant communication, communion with God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is a time of deep communion with God. Now, in the future, sometime in the future, whenever it rolls around, we're going to have a detailed, deep study on prayer on Wednesday nights. If you're not coming to Wednesday nights, you're missing it. You really are. There's some deep word coming forth in this house on Wednesday nights. And I'll just throw this at you. If you cannot come, we got them on PDF, the last of teachings. We can just send them to you. Give us your email and we'll send them to you. You know, if you can't come, well, you can study them at home. And if you come, we'll send them to you anyways. We print them out and everything. But man, the Lord is doing so much. And I'm sad, but He wants to do even more. And He'll do it as we maintain our attitude of prayer. When I just hug somebody, that's a prayer. Pastor done an awesome teaching on just being encouragers. Well, when I encourage someone, I'm praying. I may not see that as prayer, but that's what I'm doing. My attitude, everything I do, everything I say, everything I think should be in the attitude of the loving Father, of my communion with Him. And that's what it is. Every time you break the bread of life open and you sit down there and you look in those pages and you study that word, oh, don't just read it. Man, pause on those words and think, how does this apply to me? And Lord, I love Your word. And just have that love communication between you and the Father as you're sitting there reading that word. If you'll take that attitude when you're reading the word, I can guarantee you revelation will come. The Holy Spirit wants to bring revelation to us. He's not holding anything back. He's revealed it to our church. And if we quit categorizing everything and just make our life a love issue with God. All prayer is love issue, is love based, or should be. You know, we should be in that state where they say, well, let's pray tonight. I already have, but I'll pray again, you know. It's just something that you do. It's an automatic. We see somebody hurting, a little silent prayer or a little prayer of encouragement or something goes up out of you because you're able to see beyond the circumstance. You're able to see by your spirit. Because He lives in us continuously. He abides with us. So we're going to take a look at a prayer today. But personally, I've got a couple favorites I like to watch to pray. Well, Jesus naturally is one. I love to watch Paul pray. And that's basically what the Psalms are. They're prayers set to music. You know, and but they're pre-cross. So I like Paul, personally. I like to watch Paul pray. And if you look in all of his letters, he always prays in those letters. And we're going to look at one specific prayer today that Paul prayed. And we're just going to take our time. If you saw my notes, you'd see just Bible. There's no notes. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do the teaching today. We're just going to let Him, as we go through these Bible verses, let Him bring out what He wants to say. I started to make notes, and every time I did, the Lord said no. So I don't have notes. All we've got is the Holy Spirit. You think we'll make it? Can we make it with just the Holy Spirit teaching us? Well, let's do that. Let's believe that we'll hear the voice of the Spirit today. We're going to start in 1 John 5 and 14. And the reason I like to start here is because it sets my mind and spirit. And you've heard me say some of these things before, but we're going to say them again. If we're not doing these things, then it means I had heard it with my head, not my heart. Okay? But if I'm doing it, then I heard it with my heart, not my head. And I'm going to be using primarily Amplified Bible because it brings the full force out of what's being said here. So you can use any translation you want, but this one brings out the full force of what's being said. So as we read this, what we're doing is setting our mind and heart in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're making a declaration, basically, about how we see our prayer time, of what we're praying. Let's listen to it as we read it. And this is the confidence. Now, you can stop right there. If you don't have confidence in your prayer time, you're wasting your time. If you don't have confidence in the Word of God, in your relationship with the Father, then you need to take time to develop that. You need to find out why you do not have confidence. If you don't have confidence in your prayer when you start, then you're praying in unbelief. And you may as well deal with that. Start there. I need to have confidence in the Word of God when I pray. Otherwise, I'm just talking. I need confidence. And that's why I like to start here, is because I'm declaring this from the start. I start all my prayers right here because I want that. I want to know that I have confidence in what I'm praying. And I want to allow the Holy Spirit to take time to show me if I'm lacking something here. If I don't have confidence in my prayer, why don't I? There's something off center. So that's what I need to develop. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. And then the Amplified adds, we are sure. When I kneel down to pray or stand or whatever I'm doing, when I pray, I need to be sure that God heard me. Okay, this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of Him. Now notice there's several things here, and we could take off with just this and have the whole message right here in this one thing, one section of Scripture. But in verse 14 there, he talks about making any request according to His will. What is His will? It's what He said. That is His will. He gave us a whole book here full of His will. So we need to be promise prayers, promise receivers. There are some things in prayer that you receive and you don't ask for. You thank Him for it because it belongs to you. If you ask for something that's already yours, He has a problem giving it to you because He already did. So I need to, when I look at those promises, is this something I receive because He's already given it? Or is it something that I have to ask for and then agree with Him that it's going to work out? But all prayer is now. All faith is now. All love is now. All the Word is now. My prayer is now. Everything is now. I can't pray yesterday. Hopefully I did. I can't pray tomorrow because tomorrow's not here. I pray now. All faith is now. The Word is now. Everything God does in this now is related to my now. And that's number one, one of the number one issues when I pray. How, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but how do you pray? When you pray, how do you see the results of that prayer? How do you see it? Are you future tense in everything? No. Faith is now. The Word's now. When I pray, I receive. When I pray, it's mine. Now. But it's got to transfer, it's got to be transferred from spiritual, the spiritual realm into the natural realm. So sometimes it takes time. But if I believe God's Word and I have confidence in it and I'm sure of it, it's mine right now. Michael and I talked about that at breakfast yesterday. It's now. The same way I order something from Amazon or someplace, and I pay for it, And I know something's happening. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't use it. But I paid for it. Now, Amazon does their thing. They'll send you a note. We confirm your order. And it'll be, they keep sending things, notifying what state that order is in, where it's at. You're tracking it. FedEx does that and all. But is it any less yours when it's not in your hands? No, I paid for it. Well, it's the same thing, but there is a time of manifestation when that package arrives. And when the package arrives, whatever day that is, 2 days, 1 day, 6 days, a month, whatever it is, when that package arrives, I'm still not done with it. I got to open it. I got to set it up if it's a computer or something. I got to assemble it maybe. But there's still something I do on my part, even though I have it in my hand. It's the same exact way with the Word, the same exact way when we pray. I pray, I trust God's Word, I believe it, I receive it now, because He said it. Okay? He said it. It's a promise. It's not something that He's going to have to go out and, man, I hope I got that in the warehouse. He doesn't have to do that. He already said it. It's mine. But there is a process of manifestation that comes. Now, if I stop my prayer right there, it may never manifest. Because now I'm not asking anymore. I'm receiving. I'm thanking Him. I'm thanking Him. I'm thanking Him. I'm receiving. I go back to the Word as my anchor. I'm going right back to the Word. All prayer is Word-based. If it's prayer. Now, I may not know the exact scriptures, but I have a heart knowledge of who He is. I have a heart knowledge of what He said. I have a heart knowledge. We've been talking in Bible study. We started a new series on the living Word where we're starting out with the ways of the Lord. Because if you know His ways, you know how He responds. Then you know what the living Word is going to do because you know His ways. So as I pray and I look at this prayer, I'm studying His ways. I'm thanking Him for His ways. I'm thanking Him that He loves me. I'm thanking Him that His Word is absolute. And we're going to see some scriptures here. If I don't pray that way, if I see it future tense, then God's going to have a hard time getting it to me. Even when I move into my next now moment, I moved into a now moment, if I'm still seeing it future tense, when will it come to pass? Another now moment in the future? God doesn't work that way. He grants it, but now it's got to manifest. And I'm part of that. I'm part of that manifestation. As I pray, I receive. When I pray, the Word is activated. Now the process of seed, plant, harvest grow comes to pass. So I'm busy now sitting there. I see just the dirt. I don't see no plant, but I know it's there. Those roots are going down first, digging in. Then you see the plant. But it's got a root first. And it's the same way with prayer. They run parallel to us. We should be able in our spirit man to see that in our spirit picture, have develop a inner image of what we're praying for. And then God can use that because that's our anchor now. The enemy will try to move us off of that, but that's our anchor. So that's why I start here. I'm declaring myself believe His Word. I'm declaring that I trust Him. I'm declaring that His Word is absolute. I'm declaring that. I'm making that choice. Okay, and then when I don't see it, I can go right back there again. And I can grab a hold of that absolute. We're going to look at some scriptures here now on that. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven, stands firm as the heavens." Now, how long is forever? His Word is established. He's not going to change it. The same way I said last week about He sent His love forth and placed it in man, He's not going to take it back. He's never going to take His love back once it's issued forth. The same way with His Word. He said it. So it is written. That's what Jesus kept saying to the devil. For it is written. For it is written. It's the same way with us. When doubt comes, we say, "For it is written." That's our anchor in God. That's what we do in our now. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's our response to doubt. It is written, that's our anchor. That's why it's necessary to know the promises or be a promise seeker. When you pray, establish your word before you pray, if you can at all. But you know there are times, and I've heard a lot of testimonies, where these people, they got that moment by moment, day by day, second by second relationship with God. They're constantly in an attitude of prayer. They live prayer. That's what they do. They're not necessarily voicing it, but it's a heart prayer. That's where prayer comes from, heart. So they get in this issue and they pop over this hill, and I've heard a lot of testimonies like this. One was an airplane where this car is coming right at them, and all they got time for is Jesus. Jesus! Well, when you say that name, you said everything. That's all you got time for. And they don't know how they got out of that car, but they're standing over here watching it burn. It was a story of a guy on an airplane. Mother knows these. She heard those too. This guy's in an airplane crash. The whole thing's on fire. He has no way out. And that's all he says. And he's standing outside the plane over there. He don't know how he got there. How did he get there? That name. That name. That name. That's all he had time for. But he already had that in his heart. He already had the relationship. He was living a prayer life. Okay, that's what we do. We pray constantly, and then when that something like that happens, it's the name. And that's all you have to have at those times, because you called upon the name. And when you call upon the name, you said all that there is. God honors the prayer of the heart. He honors that. And sometimes that's all we have. That's what Romans 8 tells us, not where we're going. But remember those things. His word is absolute, and it's settled. And I need to know that. Psalm 111, verse 7 through 8, amplified again. The works of his hands are absolute truth. Man, if I can ever settle that statement, absolute truth, in my life, if I break open this, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the neighbor says, no matter what I say, this is absolute truth. Amen. If I ever get to the place where I believe that absolute truth, that I will get a long way in my prayer life. I'll start seeing things happen when I pray. I'll start seeing things not only in my life, but God will start using me as an intercessor, because I've got to the place where I believe his word. Amen. And all prayer is founded on the word. It's all founded on love. It's all a love issue. And it's all founded on the word. And it's all by faith. They all work together. Okay, so the works of his hands are absolute truth and justice, faithful and right. And all his decrees and precepts are sure, fixed, established, trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever and are done in absolute truth and uprightness. If I got that in my spirit, man, we need to meditate on some of these scriptures. We need to have our hearts so settled that there's no question about it. When I pray, God hears me. I prayed as well. And if I know he heard me, that's what we said in 1 John here, 5:14 and 15. If I'm established in his truth, if I believe it's absolute truth, and I've got his word here, then there's no question. All of hell that's ever existed, everybody that's ever existed, cannot change it, because his word's eternal. It's absolute. I don't care what I feel like. I could walk right up the death door itself, but the word says. I'm not changing what I say. And if doubt comes up, I've got that anchor. For it is. That needs to be in our mouth every time we pray, for it is written. It is written. Now we've got God activated. We got the Holy Spirit working. We've got the seed of the word coming up. We got all the angels of God taking care of that for us. Here comes the enemy and says, yeah, but you did that last time. Or you know this guy over here, it didn't work for him. That has nothing to do with it. Plus, that's not in my now. Right now, I say it is written. Right now, I believe it. And my next now, I do that over again. Oh, man. We abort our own prayers or put them off because of these attitudes we have. When I pray, I say, well, sometime that'll happen in the by and by. No, it's all right. It may manifest in the future like a package coming, but it's mine, the Word says. And as long as I stay there, anchored in that, I'm going to see something happen. It will happen, because otherwise God's a liar, and He's not a liar. And I need to be established in that. John 17:17 says this, and then we know what this is, this high priestly prayer, just a few minutes, few hours before He went to the cross. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So again, we see Jesus Himself declaring that the word is truth. Yeah, but the doctor said, that has nothing to do with what truth is.
That's right.
That doctor's not lying. But he just don't have enough information. He's only got a carnal surface information here. He doesn't have the same information that I have. Because the word says. Now that's a higher law than the natural law. If I will take a hold of the spiritual law, it'll start working on that natural law. But if I lock myself, even as a believer, knowing all this, even as a believer, if I will take that word of that doctor above the word of God, then that's all God can do for me. He will work with that doctor as I believe Him to. But there's more. And if that's all I can believe, then what I do is I see the Holy Spirit in those doctor's hands. I see the Holy Spirit bringing revelation to him. I see all of a sudden in the night that doctor will get a revelation of something that he didn't think of before. But God's working. He wants us healed. And if that's as far as my faith will go, God will use that. I tell people never take a pill without the word. Every pill, thank you, Jesus. Your word says, thank you, Jesus. Your word says. If that's all we've got is the pill, praise God for it. Start where you are and believe where you are and see God doing a work in those things. He will move as far as we let Him. He's waiting on us. And He didn't put that on us. It was either in our path for whatever reason, or we manufactured it somehow, or it's a suddenly that came up that really wasn't a suddenly, environment or whatever. I need to settle in my heart, God doesn't kill, steal, or destroy.
Right.
Never.
Right.
He's not the author of He hasn't caused the first tornado.
That's right.
He hasn't caused the first earthquake. There is one that kills, steals, and destroys, and it's not God. What does God do? He brings life abundant. I need to know the difference between the two and settle my heart on that. Okay. So here, Jesus Himself says, thy word is truth. Do I treat it as truth? Sometimes I got to ask myself, when I read that scripture I'm standing on, have I even done anything with the word? Am I just saying, God, please heal me, or God, please do this, or God, help me? Is that the full scope of my prayer? Well, He wants to, and He'll do it if He can. But if I am not got anything in me, if I don't have any word in me, God will look at my heart, and there's things He can do, and His mercy endures forever, and it helps us where we can. But if I've got that word to stand on, that's the law. And Satan bows to it. The angels bow to it. Everything bows to the word. Matter of fact, He said what? He's exalted or magnified His word above His name. Now that's way up there. That's why Jesus, when He was in that garden and being tempted in the wilderness, He said, for it is written. Because the word has been magnified above His name. That I need to know that. That's why it's so important. You're going through things and it's not something you have to deal with right away and you're going to be praying for it, get into the word. Find a promise. Find out what He said. If you can't find it, there's concordances all over the place. There's each word with an outstanding search engine on there. There's all kinds of tools. There's books. There's sermons. There's teachers. There's preachers. There's friends. We don't have a reason not to know what the Word says about it. If it's that serious and causing that much problem in our life, we better start looking for it. What is the answer here? You just go to a concordance and put fear in there and you'll find out a whole list of scriptures dealing with fear. Start searching them. Healing. Healed. Healing. Will be healed. All kinds of words concerning healing. Run them out. Take your time. And then take those scriptures and put them in your mouth. Amen. Father, your word says. Amen. And now you can say, devil, it's written. Amen. Michael, I don't care what you see, think, or feel, it is written. Sometimes you got to do that with yourself. Okay. And in John 15:7, if you live in me, now there's if is a big word. It's conditional. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Why? Why will it be done? Not just because I ask. We skip all that other stuff. There's a lot in that scripture. There's a lot in here. Let's look at it. Number one, if you live in me. Now, live means to abide. It means, like I said, you're continuously in relationship with the Lord. You're making a choice. I will walk the love walk. I am going to walk the love of God because that's who He is and that's who I am. I'm going to walk this. So then He abides in me. Okay, if He abides in me, I'm not talking about getting born again and the Holy Spirit being in there. If He's in our spirit and He lives in there, we're born again, He's there. But am I allowing Him to do anything? Am I in a relationship with Him? Am I allowing Him to communicate with my spirit man? Is He just there, or have I got a relationship? And that's important, okay? I got to commune with Him. For Him to, He will not force Himself on me. So that's abiding. Abide vitally united to me. United, we're one. And my words. There's an and there, which is conditional, and it attaches two separate thoughts. It's more than just abiding. The Word has to abide too. And how does the Word abide? Only one way. Just the same way my breakfast abides with me for a while. Haven't had it yet. But it abides with me. It's because it's in me. Okay? I have to receive that Word. I've got to look at it, receive it, see it mine, and take it on purpose. Then it abides in me. That's why it's so important to be a promise seeker, a promise searcher when you're praying. And when you pray, the best you can, bring that word up. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring it back and enlighten you and let Him show you the depths of what that word is saying. Spend time in it. If it's that serious, then you need to be doing that. But if you're already doing it before the serious problem comes, you're miles ahead. It's already living and abiding. That's why it's got to be daily. If you wait till the problem comes, you're already behind the eight ball. And you may or may not get far enough along for that plant to come up. That's why it's important to spend time in it. Okay, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, remain. Okay, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will. That's when you can ask. You can ask all you want to, but if those conditions are not there, God has a hard time bringing it to pass. And we'll say, God, you're not doing anything here. And this doesn't work. And you quit. Well, it's your fault it didn't work. I hate to say it that way, but God's never the problem. He paid for it on the cross. He settled it. It is finished. It's done, settled, complete. All He does is take what I say and do and activate. He takes that I say, and He brings that to pass. He doesn't have to go to the warehouse and get anything. He doesn't have to go back to the cross. He doesn't have to get another word from me and put it in there. All He can do is what I allow Him to do. I'm involved in what He does. That's what prayer is. I need to take a hold of his word on purpose and believe it. Then he'll take that and bring to pass whatever I'm believing for. That's why that's why it's so important for us to have it in our heart. I had a thought and lost it, so don't overlook that. It's a problem with no notes. He'll bring it back if I need to say it. Okay, whatever you will, and it shall be done. There's a shall is a what? It's an absolute, isn't it? It's an absolute. But it's conditional on the other things in that verse. In Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. Now, there's a bunch of other scriptures besides these that I've listed that show us the absolutes in prayer. They're absolutes. But we don't see that. I can guarantee you, all of us, when we get in trouble, we'll look to a future manifestation. We'll do that. Instead of seeing what I've asked as done right now. It's because we're under pressure, because we haven't spent time in these things. We forgot. We're just kind of slinging a prayer out there. And we don't know we're doing it. Good intention, but we haven't done anything to really research, to remind ourselves, to practice this in our daily life. A friend got in trouble or whatever, and we just throw a prayer out there, which God will answer the best he can, especially if it's in me. And I know his ways, I don't really need to know verse by verse, word by word, but if I've got it in my heart, then he'll use that to quicken his ways and to quicken me, and the Holy Spirit will bring it to memory, and I'll pray according to that word, even though I don't know word for word what it says. But it's still there in my heart. That's why this is so important. But I believe when I pray. And that's when I believe it. And I can't let go of that when I get done. I can't walk out the door and somebody asks me how I'm going. And I say, they said I'm not going to live. What happened? You had about a 2-second production time. And you cut it off. Your health and healing and your emotions especially and feelings should never govern you. They're only, and I said it again in Bible study, but your senses are only just what they say, your senses. They communicate to your spirit man, supposedly, what's going on out here. They don't govern anything. They're not meant to govern. And if they're governing you, that's your problem. Your senses only communicate with your spirit man. That's all they do. That's all they're supposed to do. They communicate what's going on around you to your spirit man. The Holy Spirit interprets that. He looks at that information that came in by your physical senses. He analyzes that and goes deeper than that with that information. He goes way beyond what those senses say. And then that is communicated to my spirit man who communicates to my mind, and that's how I'm supposed to respond. If I'm not doing that, if I'm bypassing the system, and that's why I never get a result, because I'm bypassing. I'm going from senses to mind back to body. But if I'm going senses, spirit man, Holy Spirit analyzing, mind, and then response, now the answer will be there. Because I will see beyond those feelings and emotions. I'm not governed by feelings and emotions. I'm governed by the Spirit. And there's a difference. Think about that. I'll help you with it if you... I wish I could say I got that all figured out, but I don't. Okay. Okay, let's look at John 14 and 12. One more scripture on this. Jesus is saying this, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone, now that's an anyone. Anyone covers anybody, everybody. If anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these because I go to my Father. That's because of the cross. And I will do. I myself will grant. Get the amplifications here. I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, he's saying it again, so we get it. Yes, I will grant. What's a grant? Something you don't deserve, something you can't pay for. Going to college, you get a grant. You don't have to pay it back. It's granted to you by someone sovereign higher than you. He's granting this. Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. Where do you find all that he is? Right here. When you present the word of God to the Father in prayer, in Jesus' name, you presented everything. And that's presenting all that he is to the Father. He said he would grant it. Now, either Jesus is a liar, God's a liar, the Holy Spirit is a liar, or that's absolute truth. One or the other. I got to determine that. Okay, let's jump over to Ephesians 3. I'm skipping one here because we're not going to get to it, and I didn't think we were going to. The prayers of Paul are so awesome. And this is one of my favorites. And it's what we're going to take apart today, a little at a time, as God grants us time. And then we're going to pray it. Not only for ourselves, but for each other. It's an awesome prayer. Specifically, we should be praying it for this afternoon. And if we do the Amplified, you'll get it amplified. See what he's really saying here. So let's start off while I got the time yet. For this reason, seeing the greatness of his plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, he's writing a letter to a church and to us. Now, he is praying this on his own. When he writes the letter, what happens? They read it, right? That minister in Ephesus, the church, he'd get up and he'd read Paul's letter. What's happening? It's being read again. That minister is not only hearing it as he reads it, but he's declaring it again to the people. What's happening to the people? They're hearing again the words that Paul prayed. So not only is he praying, he's communicating his prayer. And then they're receiving that and declaring it again. And that's what we do when we pray. One of the highest forms of prayer you can pray is the word itself. You put your name in there. The Holy Spirit wrote this through Paul. It's the Holy Spirit praying through Paul. And he could have prayed that and never communicated it. And we've already studied, if I pray his will, he heard me. So he heard Paul when he prayed it. Paul wrote it. But in most of these cases, he was declaring it, dictating it, and somebody else wrote it down. So now the guy that wrote it, he heard it and received it. Whether he thought he did or not, he received it. The guards he's chained to received it and heard it. They get it, read it again. They receive it and heard it. All of this time, this word is going off in their spirit. I love that image. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. When we take these words and we pray them for somebody, we're praying accurately. We're praying the Holy Spirit's words himself. We're praying God's will. Don't you think God heard that? And if his word's true in 1 John 4, 14 and 15, and it is, then he heard that prayer. Do I just read it and say, oh, okay, I prayed? Or am I judging myself as I pray that, believing it? I'm praying that now, and if I believe it, God heard it, I have it. And this has been going on since Paul prayed that, way back there. It's always been God's heart. And if you look at the prayers of Paul, they kind of overlap one another. A lot of them are almost identical in some ways. They contain the same things. But this is an awesome one. So, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the position. You can pray standing. I pray walking. I pray prostrate sometimes. I pray kneeling. I pray all over the place. Okay? He hears. It's a heart thing. What it means basically is I'm humbling myself before my Father. I'm receiving Him for who He is. I'm humbly bowing myself to His word. And I'm trusting Him. He's the Lord. That's what that position means. Yeah. But it can be bowed at the same time. For whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. In other words, the Creator Himself, the source of everything. I'm bowing my knees to the Father. That's what He's saying. All things come from Him and by Him, and all things return to Him. May He, that Father, the Creator Himself, may He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. All the way through here, Paul's teaching as he prays. And when we pray, we teach this. Now, where's the strength coming from? Inside, not outside. The Holy Spirit is inside me. That's where the strength is. That's where the power is. That's where the might is. The Word Himself, God Himself. We need to be God inside minded. This Holy Spirit power is strengthening my inner man. That's also healing scriptures. If you're sick, hurting, recovering, you're walking around in depressed fear and worry and all this stuff. Where does your strength come from? The Holy Spirit inside. Right? So if you're, this is an awesome prayer for people that are sick, people that are struggling, people that have emotional issues. This is what you pray for them. For myself, I can put my name in here. Okay, so may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. You notice how he always adds that. Because that strength in the inner man flows from love. Everything God ever has done, everything that He ever will do, is based in and founded on love. Your prayer is based in and founded on love. Your faith, your word, everything God does is founded on that and that alone. That's all He does. He doesn't do anything else but that. Because He is the being love. So that's why Paul is saying, I pray that you're founded and deeply rooted. Because in that, you'll have everything I'm praying for. When you start walking in love, revelation comes. When you start walking in love, you're in constant prayer with the Father as you walk through your daily life. But only you can do that. You have to make that choice for yourself. God's not going to make you do it. And it's got to involve your faith, not somebody else's. Your faith. You've got to trust and believe and receive. Then He actually dwells. And the reason we want, verse 18 says, this is why I want this to happen. That you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? To experience it. We're not talking about just knowing about it. We're talking about experiencing it. Don't we need some experiences in prayer? We need to have some experiences in our prayer life where we don't just talk, but we see things happen. We see lives change. We see our life changing, our family. And that's what we're talking about. When we get to the absolutes, we'll start seeing things. Because my love walk will channel my heart and my spirit into the Father's will. And I'll be praying His will because I'll know beyond what I see. Amen? And that you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it, that you may really come to know. I like that. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body filled, wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Am I ready for that? Oh, but I want it. I want it. And that's God's desire. That's why Paul prayed it. That's why he's wanting them to get a revelation of it. God wants to flood His church with the fullness of Himself. Amen. He's not holding anything back. We're holding Him back. And what we're doing this afternoon is part of that release. Yeah. Part of the walls coming down. Part of our hearts being knit together. Some of us are just coming to a picnic. But they're going to get more than a picnic. They may not know it. This needs to be our prayer today for the people. Every day, every moment of our life. If we got a prodigal son or prodigal daughter, or even if somebody's already passed away, I need healing in my heart. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to, for us to experience the depths of that love. That you may really come to know. And I want that. Verse 20. Now to Him who by, in consequence of, the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, that's a good word, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's what He wants. I don't know what that is because I can't think that high. But that's the God we serve. He wants to take us beyond our own ability, beyond our prayers, beyond our thoughts, beyond our abilities, and experience some of the things. That's what He said Himself when He said, you're going to do greater things than I do. Amen. And that's because of the cross. He couldn't do them. But He's wanting and desiring us to. Amen. That's why He prayed that they may be one, that the world may know. The authority and the power that we have is because of our unity of heart and purpose. Then verse 21, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Now, is that man, I love to watch Paul pray because I can get in agreement with that. And what I want to do tonight is this afternoon, morning, whatever it is, as we close, Nate, if you go back to the beginning of verse 1 on 3 there, and we're going to read this together, but do more than read it. We want to pray it together. We want to be praying this for one another. And I don't know if it's possible. We're all over the place, but kind of when I thought about doing that, I believe the Lord would like us to hold hands. Now, whatever it takes to reach out to somebody to hold their hand, my friend is going to come up and hold mine. And we want to pray this with each other today. And then we'll be dismissed. This will be our closing prayer today. Are we brave enough to reach out to one another? I extend my Nate. Pardon? We're going to start at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And then we're going to go down through there. So it's on the overhead, so we can read it there. Or you can just pray this with all of your heart for the one next to you and for each other and for this afternoon. Amen. We're just going to read it. For this reason, being the greatness of His plan, by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May He grant you, out of the rich treasury of His glory, to be strengthened, reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled with all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now to Him who by in experience of love, the action of His power that is at work within us is able to carry out His purpose and to do super abundantly, far above and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. We have what we've asked for.
Amen.
Praise God.